Hi, this is Variety Shanavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live. Well, I wasn't expecting to do a part two on R. Kelly, Robert Kelly, my childhood friend. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, born and raised. We're born the same year and everything. He's born in January, I'm born in December. Tonight, I had the opportunity to read a few articles regarding his trial. And my feeling on it is, he should be acquitted. Absolutely. Let me tell you why he should be acquitted. I see nothing but teenagers there. Where are your parents at? Where are these mamas and daddies at of these kids? Where are they? No one is picking their kids up. No one is trying to find their children. I guess they said the age of 18, that's it. They're on their own. Let me tell you something. When I turned 18, I was on my own too. I was pregnant at 18 years old, as a matter of fact. I had my daughter at 19 years old in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But I had my own place. I didn't live with anybody. I didn't live with no guys. I didn't even live with my child's father. And he's also a singer. But I was on my own. I went to college. I had my daughter in August of 87. I went to college in September of 87. I was a teenager, so I'm going to speak on the aspects of being a teenager myself. I'm 53 now, going on 54. I'm going to tell you about an experience I had with my daughter. My daughter had an opportunity to learn some music for a single with a guy that I knew. And this guy was supposed to be he was a producer, a music producer. This happened in California. And it was my daughter, her friend named Jonathan, and Helena, and myself. And we all went to the producer's house with Kristen. And when we got there, you know, I went and saw the equipment and everything. This is in Culver City. Kristen was learning some music because I had another producer that I was working on a song with. My daughter is very good with listening to music and sound and can really pick it up really good and play it back. She's better than I am. I have to listen to it like 3, 4, 5 times before I catch it. So he said, he had this room. He had the keyboard in there. And you start playing the music to her. And then he said, well, you know, you guys can leave. I said, oh, hell no, we're not going to do that. So I said, you can do whatever you need to do with the door open. And he told her little boyfriend, well, you know, her little male friend from school. Because my daughter is 13, 14 years old. And my daughter, little boyfriend that she had at the time, was a senior. He was 17. She was 14. And, but you know, they went to the same school and everything. So, you know, really was no biggie. I was checking and making sure she was still, you know, intact. And she was. But we talked to her about, you know, sex and stuff like that. And I stressed it. Don't bring no kids up in here before 18. I'm not having it, you know. No abortions or any of that, you know, because my daughter, the school she went to, her high school she went to, they had a clinic there, just like my high school had a clinic when I was going to school in Michigan. And I told the guy, I said, you know what, no, you can leave that door open, and we'll sit here on the sofa. While you guys, you know, do what you're going to do on this keyboard. And she told her boyfriend that she could leave. He can leave and go sit in the car. I said, no, we're not leaving to sit in no cars while my daughter is up here. And I said, if there's an issue, then we must leave. And we did. So we left and we went home. She's like, oh, mama really wanted to do the music. I said, no, I don't like the situation. We're not leaving anywhere. We're not going downstairs to a car. We're not doing any of that. You're not going to be left up in his home with an adult, and you're only 14. I'm not doing it. You know, it's possible that at that time, maybe some allegations was going on at that time with Rob, maybe. But however, my daughter was too young, and I'm not doing it with any man, anyone. Period. You have to be a musician. So my thing is that parents have the control to what their children do and don't do. And in this industry, people trust someone like him. Even if they heard about it, some people are going to say they believe it. Some people are going to say that they don't believe it. I accompanied my daughter to this producer's house. I did not leave her. So there are other parents who could have done the same thing. Now, when I wanted to sing, I did on my own answer an ad when I was 16 years old and I wanted to pursue singing. And I went with my friend, my best friend, to the audition, and I did get it. I did get the lead. However, it was a singing group, in local singing group in Detroit. And I went with my best friend, so I didn't go by myself. But I did get the lead. But my aunt said, no, you can't go on tour because I have 3 other kids to take care of. And I'm not quitting your job, my job, and I'm not going to manage you. I can't do it. You know. So I was like, oh my God, my career is going to be going down the drain. Oh my God. So what I did was I called Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was in London. I called him up. I said, I want to be a singer. And I got the leading role to sing. And they're going to be going on tour first. I mean, they're going to be going on tour. And I said, well, you know, I'm thinking about maybe I should just, like, leave school for this, you know. And he said, no, you stay in school because it's going to be there. Music is going to be there. Finish school first. So he talked me into finishing school. I said, but my dream is, it might not happen. I mean, come on. I mean, this is like now I got this deal. I mean, this is going to happen. It's going to be big for me. He said, absolutely not. And I was like, oh my God, you know. So, I ended up staying. I had to call the guy back and said, I can't travel. I can't go on the road and go on tour. And then my aunt was like, and plus you're 16 years old. You're not going to be on the road with all grown men. Mm-mm. Nope, not having it. Nope. So that was the situation. And that never happened. I don't know what happened to that group, but I will tell you something. I ran into the lead singer out here in California. He's not singing. He's not in that group anymore. They never became big, you know. So, you know, my family was, they were all supportive. They knew I can sing a little bit. But it's the responsibility of the parents to be there for their kids. You don't have to leave your kids with an adult. There's so many ways. I work in production myself, audio production and everything. And there are so many ways to make music. You can actually record at another location without coming to the studio, lay the tracks down, And you can have those tracks sent and submitted through email, through a USB, through the mail, overnight, FedEx, UPS, you name it. These people did not have to be in Robert's house. I don't know what was going on with his wife and his children and how that was set up. But, you know, we've heard different stories in the media that she wasn't allowed to be involved or whatever. Maybe he was like that, because a lot of musicians and even myself, when you're a creative artist and you're dealing with music, videos, editing, sound, production, you really do need an undivided attention to really focus on every single sound that you do. You really do. Just even me having school projects. When we had school projects for editing music, we had to really focus and what's coming out of that headphones. I had to focus. When you're doing editing, you're focused on every single slate that you're doing in editing and mixing. You're really paying attention. You're going to have to pay attention to the music. And the music is getting right to that cut, that edge that you need for the video or film. You know, so I understand that part of being a musician, an artist, a producer, when you can't have people around and noise and distraction. That part I understand, because you do need that. You do need that, that focus. But, you know, people could have had a hotel paid for, lounging somewhere else. They said that this one accuser slept on the tour bus and wasn't inside the house, but slept in a tour bus. You know, I don't know what's going on with the guy. I gotta read about this guy. So now they're trying to say he's bisexual now too and slept with a guy. Oh my god. So I'm just putting it out there for me. I just think that, because I grew up with him. And I still don't see it. I still don't see it. You know, the stuff that I've been looking at doesn't make sense to me. No one has ever made a police report. No one's ever gone to the police, not the wife, and no one's ever made a police report to say domestic violence. No one has gotten to the stage like when Floyd Mayweather went to jail over his girlfriend. His wife didn't do that. Robert's wife didn't do that. She just lock him up, you know? So, this is just another thing, like, you know, they come out with things like with Bill Cosby or whatever, you know. And see, people with a man, they always want to find out what you're into. They always want to find out what you're into. What type of woman do they like? What they looking for? See, they can grow up with the real cool kid on the block. You know, but then when you get to a certain level in this industry, people start feeling like there's a certain image that a man is supposed to be with in the media. And they all don't have that image, but they have a certain image that they think is supposed to be in the media. You know, but Rob has always been about his music ever since we were kids. He's not the only person who was into music. He was surrounded around music. I was surrounded around music. Like I said, Diana lived across the street. Otis Williams from The Temptations lived down the street. Kevin Little, a Caribbean singer, now he's a Caribbean singer, he wasn't then, lived across the street, you know, on the corner, you know, so we were surrounded around all of this. It was surrounded around Motown and artists. I used to go over to Aaliyah's house, and I went over to Aaliyah's house when she was getting ready to do Star Search, and she sung the song My Valentine. That was the song she sung, and she looked so cute and everything. She reminded me of Beyonce when Beyonce was younger. Her hair was real long, because we all had long hair like that when we were kids and stuff. So I went over there and I saw her and Sherrod and everything, and Daryl. And so I just feel that there's a lot of big holes in this whole thing to me. There's a lot of big holes in it. You know, my daughter is someone that I love very much, and I always told my daughter, a man put his hand on you, lock his ass up. Lock him up. Now, I know women who have actually just got rid of their husbands in self-defense in Detroit. You know. But, you know, they did a year in jail, and that was it. But they went that route. But that didn't happen. Of course, probably not. He has money. But I always told my daughter, man hit you, I didn't bring you in this world to be a punching bag. That I didn't. You know, but it's more than one type of abuse. There's emotional abuse. There's financial abuse. There's physical abuse. You know, mental abuse. You know, there's all kind of abuse that you can go through in a relationship, you know. But it's abuse too to a man who has someone in his home. And I was reading on the internet tonight that these women were stealing his jewelry. His home was broken into and was burglarized when he went on tour. His home was broken into. You know. They stole his Rolex watches. So don't tell me that they're trying to flip it all up like, oh, okay, it's an excuse for us stealing his jewelry. Well, he worked for everything that he has to buy those Rolex watches. You know? So, that's a crime to me. Breaking and entering into his home, stealing his jewelry. He came from the tour. There was nothing in his house left. Everything was stolen and taken out. Furniture and everything was gone out of his home in Atlanta. So that's theft there. They knew he wasn't going to be there. So evidently, if he was on tour, he wasn't molesting anybody. He wasn't abusing anybody because he was on the road. That's how I look at it. So what about that? I'm the same kind of person. Let me tell you about me. I have a friend of mine. Sometimes he'll come over. He's my best friend too. And he knows not to play with me, because we get into it all the time. But I have a best friend of mine. He'll come over sometimes. And I live alone. A lot. Even though, you know, I have a strange marriage. But I live alone a lot. And I'm the type of person, I'm just like my grandmother. When I place something on a table or wherever it's at that I want it to be, when I come back into the room, I want it to be there where I left it. Don't say you didn't take it and it wasn't me. And then people want to say, okay, I live here. It's been here all week, all day, until you came. Now it's missing. Don't start telling me, oh, you crazy. You got problems. You got issues. No, I don't. Put it back where I had it and where I left it. So you got to do. We don't have to go into all of that, you know? So people have their things in their home. It should be where they left it. Leave it alone. I guarantee you, Floyd Mayweather, another good friend of mine, there was an occasion that I spent the night over his house with my daughter. And he got up. He let me know the night before he was going to get up and go to the gym. He asked me. He woke me up. He said, you want to go to the gym with me in the morning and watch me box? I said, well, how early is it going to be? 4 a.m. I said, oh, my God, 4 a.m. Oh, my God. And I said, well, no, because Kristen's sleeping. I said, well, she can sleep in the car, you know, whatever. I said, okay, well, you know, okay, I guess maybe, you know. But I don't know. He went on and left because I was going to go to California. So Floyd left and went on to the gym to do his boxing. I woke up in the morning about 10. Because, see, I left in the home by myself with my daughter. That's how cool we are, you know. He probably does that with a lot of people now, too, you know, other people. But with me, you know. And this is like years ago, just back in the 90s and stuff, when we came out to West Coast together from Nevada, I mean, from Grand Rapids in Michigan. So there was $1,500 on the table in cash. And my daughter said, Mom, there's money on the table. You know, I said, oh, okay, yeah, I see it. And she said, leave it alone, though. Leave it there. And so I went on and left and went to L.A. So Floyd called me up in Los Angeles, and he said, I left you $1,500 on the table. You didn't take it. I said, well, you're not the only one who lives there at the house, are you? I said, your father lives there. It could have been his money. I don't go around just picking up money and assuming things. You didn't leave me a note and say, here's money for you. Take it with you or whatever. And when you travel, you didn't do that. It was just sitting there. And you're not the only one who lives there. It could have been his money. So he was like, yeah, that's true. You know, I understand. You know, whatever. I said, okay, well, I'll be back. So just have it there when I get back then. You know. And that was that. You know, it could have been rent money. It could have been whatever. You know. So, it was just that type of loyalty. You know. At least you know I'm still, you know. And, so he has a right, Robert has a right to have his go off. They're trying to use these tapes now against him, of him going off in a conversation. And it's illegal by law to record someone's conversation without their consent. That's an FCC law. And it's a federal law that's already broken. I don't even know why they're using these tapes. They should be thrown out. Because it's illegal to record him without his knowledge, by phone, video, or whatever it is. You're supposed to let a person know that you're recording them. So I don't even know why they're using these tapes. Actually, that's an illegal defense on a prosecutor. It's illegal. It shouldn't be you. It should be thrown out. I don't even know why the judge is allowing it. So I just feel like, you know, he has a right to go off and be mad about someone stealing his Rolex watches. He has a right to be mad for someone breaking into his home and stealing all his equipment. These house guests were thieves. People were sending them over there to find out when he was leaving, when he was not going to be home. And everything. And then they stole his stuff while he was out of town. They knew his schedule. They knew his schedule. you know. So I'm glad that was on video, though. At least he has a defense still on his side with going off on them saying, you know, if I find out you're lying to me by taking my watch, you know, something's going to happen, whatever. Well, he said that out of anger. He was going to do anything to them. He said out of anger. I know he did. You know, so, you know, to me, I don't see a reason for that to be a prison time. They stole from him first. You know? So, getting back to me, I don't care if there was a 13, 14, 15 year old. I don't care. Where are these parents at? They need to be held accountable for their children and their children's circumstances and situations of what they've been through. Guardian or whatever it is. They need to be held accountable. They should have known their children's whereabouts. Pick them up. Something. You know? It's ridiculous. But it happens. When you're a celebrity and you're a star, that's how people want to feed themselves. They just want to come at them like that. You know? And then on top of it, if he already been in the media, in court already, previously, you're still bringing your kids over to R. Kelly's house after he's already been in the media of accusation of doing this? You're still letting him be in the presence of your child, your teenager? Or you as a grown woman, you still can't come over to his house. You know his history in the media of what they've said about him. So why would you want to be there? If you thought he was a rapist and you know he's a rapist, you put yourself in a situation to be with a rapist. How can that be forced? How can that be forced? That's voluntary to me. That's voluntary. You already know the history. It's all over the internet. And you still pursue him? That's just like a man who's been in jail for being abusive. But you still see them coming on the yacht, coming over to their house, still want to get married. Still want to be in the circle. So what, abusing? That's not how he treats me. That's not what he said to me. That's not what he does with me. He gives me a ring. He gives me cars. So if he's abusive, why you want him? Because he has money. Simple. He needs to be acquitted. He needs to be acquitted. And you know what? These type of women, they don't just deal with men like R. Kelly. They'll deal with any man who's been in jail. A lot of women do. I have a relative that actually married a man who was a sex offender. She married him. She met him in jail, but she didn't care. She still married him when he got out. So, No, he needs to be acquitted. I'm sorry. To me, this is all on their own voluntary decision to get involved with him. That's how I feel. And then there are thieves coming in there stealing his stuff out of his house. You know. You have parents, relatives, they're not calling or coming to see about their kids, see what they're doing. They just, I'm at Rob's house chilling or whatever. You know, that sounds good to people because they feel like they're a part of something big. You know? Robert is a very talented guy. Very talented. Today, or yesterday, I took the time to download every song that I really love of Robert's. Robert has so many hit songs, it's unbelievable. I can't believe he has these many hits. It's like over 100 hits. It's amazing. His music is just incredible. When we were growing up and stuff, I know I just listened to a little bit of his music. And we talked about it. But I've never been in like the studio with him putting everything together. It's just like, man. I had time to really, really just like go through a list of his music. He's a phenomenal producer. He is incredible. Super talented, you know. Now let me get to this about Aaliyah walking in on the oral sex. Well, she wasn't screaming. She was on a tour bus. And a chick walked in on them while he was doing oral sex to Aaliyah. So she said. Well, if you're on a bus with other people, she's not saying, please help me. She probably said, get the fuck out. And looked up and probably said, get the fuck out. You know, because she said she slammed the door and didn't say nothing else. She probably said, get the fuck out. You know, I mean, so she's on a tour bus and everyone is on the bus and she's not on the bus by herself. So you got a whole bus full of people while he's having oral sex with Aaliyah. Okay, so did anyone else feel that was their business? Obviously not. I'm sure there were adults on the bus too. Did anyone say anything? No. Obviously, it must have been consented. I don't know how they're going to use that, but I don't see anything that they should use for that. Like I said before, my grandmother consented her oldest child, who was 16, to marry a 21-year-old. Like I said before, they didn't believe in shacking. The relatives from the South back then. That's what they call it, shacking. And then later on in the 70s, they had common law marriage. Now today in the 2000s, you have domestic partnership, you know, in different eras and everything. So, I don't really see how anyone could just be involved with a man and you know he's a rapist and he's supposed to rape someone. And you go there to be with him. And you still want to have sex with him. And you still want to have sex with him without protection. It's crazy. I wouldn't have done none of it. I would have never done any of it. Period. You know. So you got one woman who's supposed to have herpes. One woman. Well, Usher just had a baby. They said that about him, too. So, where about the other women and kids that he has sex with and boys that he has sex with? Do they have herpes, too? Because no one else is saying they have herpes. This one person has herpes. So far, no one else is saying that they had an outbreak, but this one person. And he has a current girlfriend. Robert has a current girlfriend. And I don't think she said anything about having herpes in this current relationship that he has. He's still getting girlfriends with herpes. They're still coming with herpes, with being accused of rape, with being accused of being a molester. He still has women coming to his door. Same thing with the man. Supposed to be women. They still coming to their house. I don't believe any of it. I've known him since I was a kid. I've never seen that kind of guy in him. It's hard to believe. People change over the years. People change over the years, but I think all of this is fabricated. I just think it's fabricated. I don't believe it. You know, not one person out of all these people went to the police and said I was raped. Not one. I don't believe it. I don't believe a man can be in a home with 20 women and tie them all up. How can he tie them up? They stole everything. What is he tying them up to? If his home was robbed and he reported his home being robbed, and he did make a police report on his home being robbed. What are they tied to? It wasn't no beds or nothing in there. They should have left that for evidence. But they didn't do that. Yeah, I know somebody who moved out her husband when he was at work in Detroit. He was a bus driver. And his girlfriend came to the house and cleaned it out while he was at work. And he came back from work and the house was empty. He was mad, but he went and just bought some new furniture. They replaced everything. And he probably had renter's insurance. So, people do those type of things to people. You know? I had a whole truck that I had moved with OnTrack, it never got delivered to me. 27 boxes. This was in 2018. Someone stole 27 boxes of all my belongings and everything that I had, camera equipment and everything. So, audience, my listenership, my listeners, can't believe everything you hear and read about people. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Someone at least got to go to the police at least once. And they didn't. They didn't make a police report. They broke in his home. Stole all his stuff out of his house. I don't know what they're going to be tied up to with nothing being in the house. People are 18 years old. They don't have no parents. Just coming to check on them. Pick them up. I guess they said, okay, you're at Rob Kelly's house, whatever. Okay, fine. And leave it at that. I didn't have family like that. They cussed my ass out. Hurry, get your ass home. And even at 18, you'll get a beat down. You know. So, Weird. Real weird. So, 13, 14 years old. I don't see no parents coming forward. It's weird to me. But like I said, people have a choice. You don't have to leave your children with an adult. And then why would you want to? In fact, why would you even want to reach out to him if he really did all of this? Why couldn't you find another producer in the industry? Why did it have to be Robert Kelly that they wanted to find to do producing for music for? Why couldn't they find someone else? And usually, if they were sent to Robert, then they had to be on the label in order to really work with him, because usually that's how it works. Or if you're with the same music royalty company as an artist. Like if you're with ASCAP, then you'll work with some ASCAP producers or writers. But usually an artist is set up with the producer if they're with that label, usually. You know, that's a label decision to send someone to him as well. But people can also decline on that. But I'm sure they probably asked, would you feel uncomfortable with working with him? And they probably said no. So, like I said, there are a lot of ways to create an album or a single or music. And you can definitely do it remote. When Quincy Jones did the song Secret Garden, not all of the artists were in the studio together. They all recorded at different locations, their own parts, and then it was all mixed together and sent to Quincy, and it got mixed down. So you don't have to physically be in the studio with R. Kelly to make music. I have a cousin that's a producer, and he's working with Tony Braxton, and he and I had an artist that wanted to work with him and someone else from Motown, and he said, well, I just want to hear him over the phone, you know, sing some bars real quick, you know, just to do that as an audition. He didn't have to stand in front of him. He'll know just from a little bit of that if he wanted to work with him. Then he would say, just go ahead and do some music and send it to me. Put it on a USB and send it to me an email. And that's what we did. So you don't have to physically be there to make music. You don't do that. So some of these people chose to make a decision to be there. That's their choice. And if the label paid for them to be there, then the record label paid for them to make a song with him, because they're fronting the money. That's how that works. They're fronting the money for their studio time. They're paying him as a producer to make music. But they didn't have to be there. They could have set that up and had musicians somewhere else with the artists. Then he listens to it, he'll get it, and they'll send it to him. He could have did it that way. But no, there are people that sound like to me, they just want to get in the bed. And I'm defending my friend because I grew up with him. I'm standing up for him because I grew up with him. I grew up with him, and I grew up with Floyd Mayweather Jr. Because Floyd Mayweather Sr. was my dad's best friend when he was alive. And I can tell you one thing about Floyd Mayweather Jr. He was not a violent child. And he had sisters. He never hit his sisters. They used to bug the hell out of him though. But he didn't hit them back. He wasn't raised like that. he would go call his daddy and say, "Daddy, come get me." And he would, because he could always depend on his father to be there for him. So why these other people couldn't call their parents and say, "Come get me from Robert's house if there's a problem. Come get me. I just been raped, daddy or mommy. Come get me." I'm not seeing any of this in the papers or the press on the internet. So I defend them. I'm just going on something to me that just makes sense. I just, the actions of people, it don't add up. I don't see no police reports. I'm not reading anything on police reports. It's not adding up. It just doesn't make sense. So, people are walking into this situation voluntarily. I don't see a force. And then they have one of these accusers, like I said in my previous podcast, orchestrated where you bring other people to this person. She brought them on her own. She went and got other girls and brought them to him on her own. That's what I mean about orchestrated. People do that because, number one, they want to see if she's really working with him, if it's really real, if she really knows where he lives. People want to be proven that they know somebody, that they're really in a clique, that this is really working out. People need to know and see that this person really is involved, like they say they are. So they have to prove a point by going to go get people to prove that. But like I said before, there's a whole lot of producers out there besides R. Kelly that they could have worked with. They didn't have to come to R. Kelly. He could have went somewhere else. Producers without a bad reputation. Producers who have not been in the media with anything like this. And just because they haven't, doesn't mean that they never hit anybody. Because there's some singers out there that are famous that were jumped on by guys, but they didn't give out their names. However, I'm just saying, there's a whole lot of other producers that you can work with. Now, I'm a woman and I work in media arts, which means broadcasting, videos, radio, everything. Okay? And I've lived in San Francisco. There's an all-woman recording studio that people have an option to go to. You can fly in from Atlanta or wherever you are. You don't have to work with R. Kelly. You can fly in to be in a recording studio with all women engineers, producers, musicians, on down. Even Beyonce records at this studio with all women. So you don't have to put yourself in the situation to get in bed, to have sex, be raped, or whatever. There are options. It being in an all-woman studio is one of them. And you know if they're working on Beyonce's album, then they must be good at what they do. So, they can create hits too. Well, I hope I've been enlightening to some fans of R. Kelly, because he has some fans out there, and I want to speak on behalf of my friend Robert that I grew up with, that has known me since 13530 Pinehurst Street in Detroit, someone I went to high school with, good friend of mine, He spent the night over my house as adults. We fell asleep on a sofa together as adults, watching TV. And I think he stayed, what, two nights? I've never been raped. He never tried to force himself on me. So, not to say that he didn't have any feelings for me or anything like that, because he has some feelings for me, you know. But I'm just saying, he was always a gentleman. The Robert that I know. So I'm going to stand up for the Robert that I know. The Robert that I grew up with. The Robert that used to come to my house and knock on the door every time he came from Chicago. The Robert that I know only had one girlfriend, and that was the one that he married. That was really serious, and that was Andrea. Now, what happened between him and Aaliyah, that's different. Don't know about that marriage or how that took place, but I do know for a fact, back in the 90s, he always talked about Andrea. When he came over to my house, spent the night, he talked about Andrea. I met Andrea. Andrea's cousin lived right next door to me. So when she was getting ready to get with him, she's like, girl, I'm about to go to Chicago. You know. And she went. And we're happy for her. You know. So, I just stand up for my friend because I feel that my friend is innocent in his own way. But he need to be responsible for his actions at the same time, though. Because he's already gotten off. He's already been accused of things. And to be in that situation again, you know, he should have had something in writing, contract, or something. He should not have been in that situation again. It should not have been happening again. But at the same time, they did it to Michael Jackson. Because he got off, they wanted to keep doing it. He's dead now, and they're still doing it. And you guys already know, the pussy is going to bring you down, eventually. Didn't you guys ever see the video with Eddie Murphy, Raw? Trap you with the pussy. Pussy traps. That's what he said. My God, come on, guys. I know, you guys are... I don't know, you guys are vulnerable or something. I don't know, you guys are vulnerable. But Robert should not have been in that situation again. He should have been more careful. But you know, he's vulnerable for love just like anyone else. And he's a man. We all want to be loved. We all want love. We all want to find the right person. We all want to heal from a bad experience, bad marriage, and try again and give love a try. And trust a try. I was even told, you gotta trust love. Trust a try. You gotta give love a try. I've been told that myself. We all want somebody to be that we can get along with, held, hold, walk down hands. We all want it to be right. We all want to find Miss Right or Mr. Right. However way it's gonna go. Everyone wants someone that they want to get to a level of success and have someone to share it with. Because they said success is nothing if you have no one to share it with. But then again, you don't need fake friends either. Muhammad Ali said, I'd rather be alone than have company of fake friends. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just hoping for the best outcome for Robert. These women need to get some help. But you know, he's a celebrity, he's a star. And let me tell you something.
When I was a teenager and Prince came out, Dirty Mind, Uptown, and Prince had on that trench coat with those black bikini drawers and them leg warmers, you best believe I would have been giving up on Prince. I ain't gonna even lie about that. I was 13. Prince was all over my wall. On the ceiling, on my walls. Prince, 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 Prince. We were so bad. Then when we were in the 9th grade, 10th grade, one of my other best friends, Breeze, she went to go see the 1999 movie in a camisole and heels and a trench coat. I put on a camisole and got my ass beat. You went down the street wearing that? Are you crazy? My aunt saw it. She said, oh my God. She knew I was crazy about Prince. But she beat my ass. Because you're walking down the street in Detroit with a camisole on. Are you nuts? Hey, I went to a Prince concert. And Prince was in that bathtub. Oh my God. Do me, baby. International lover, my cousin and I, we were together at the Prince concert. Are you serious? Please. I was 13, 14. Yeah, I would have gave it up to Prince. I ain't gonna even lie. So when you hear about these stories with R. Kelly and celebrities and they're young, hell yeah. I even had a little boyfriend that favored Prince. The only reason why I dated him is because he favored Prince. And he had a little mole on the side of his face. And he was light skinned. He was my first boyfriend. And I said, do you know that you favor Prince? And he was like, no, not really. I said, but you do. Well, all I can tell you is that he became my boyfriend for a long time because he looked like Prince. That was as close as I got to being with Prince, was a lookalike. So, hey, that's how it is. So I'm not going to pretend like 13, 14-year-old girls, you know, see somebody they like, they're attractive, even with Robert. Hey, that's it. Because you couldn't tell me nothing. Because back then, they was up there playing that song by Betty Wright, Make Me a Woman Tonight, all that. Yeah, that helped it. That helped the decision to just move forward. Oh my God. You already know. Y'all know. I know y'all laughing. You already know. Okay, yeah, we go to church on Sunday. Right. That part. Uh-huh. Sure we do. Okay, I don't think I was going to church. Yeah, I probably went to church a few times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yes, actually I did go to church a few times with the guy that became my boyfriend that looked like Prince. Right. I was bad. Bad girl. Bad girl. All my friends were bad. And then we had the party line. We had the party line back in the 90s when we were teenagers. No. 80s. We in the 80s. We had the party line. We all get on the party line. Boy, we were some crazy kids. Most of my friends, all of us had jobs. I worked at Little Caesars Pizza and Popeyes. And my friends worked at the mall. Or at the grocery store. And all my friends, we had jobs. And then we had boyfriends with cars. Oh, Lord have mercy. All I can tell you is that speaking from the perspective of me being a teenager myself, yeah, I'm one innocent. So I'm going to let you know, me as a 13, 14 years old teenager, yeah. They was doing a nookie back then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're one innocent. So I understand why these 13, 14-year-old girls in that situation, they wanted to be, because I wanted to be. And I have male friends that were 16 that got married because they got their girlfriend pregnant. So these are scenarios that happened to me in my life. True experiences in my life as a teenager, 13, 14 years old, you know. So I'm standing up for my friend Robert Kelly because I grew up with Robert. And when they talk about Aaliyah, I'm sure Aaliyah probably thought he was attractive because he's a handsome guy. And had you had Prince in front of me at 13, 14, my sister and I, it would have been probably a double thing going on. Because we both love Prince. My sister wore the t-shirt, "Do me, baby. I'm doing you, baby. Please." I want to be your lover and everything, for real. Oh, my God. That was it. Prince music broke the virginity. That was it. That was it. He was the man. He was the man. I don't know. I can just tell you that Vanity 6 was an influence with the camisoles and everything and their look too. We were buying camisoles and everything, and we wore it under school. I had a camisole underneath my t-shirt and my jeans. I had to put my sweatshirt over it. And then when we got to school, we put on our jacket so the camisole would show. That's what my friends and I did in high school. Then we went to the bathroom and put on makeup and everything. Then we had male friends that had cars. Some days we have half days. And then those half days turn in not going to school at all. Beep, beep! Teenager. Days. My day. My heyday. Yeah. None of shit. Girl, tell all your damn business on the internet. Well, you know what? Hey, I'm telling it because my friend's life is on the line. And I just want to reflect on how I was as a teenager at 13 years old. Fast as hell. But responsible. In my own way. Thank God I never had any kids at 13. But you know what? Usually, when I used to go to my little boyfriend's house, he had older brothers and siblings there. And they would just look like y'all kids growing up. Okay, all right. Right. Yeah. But it's cool, though. You know, we live and learn. These things happen. So, I'm saying this because my friend Robert Kelly, life is on the line, and they're bring up a lot of things about being 13, 14 years old. And I had a friend who was a 16-year-old male who had sex with a 32-year-old woman that took his virginity. You know, and these things do happen. Women aren't innocent either. Don't exclude them. I had a cousin who married an older woman. Didn't last long. He had a child with her. But, you know, females aren't innocent either. So, they're just as bad. So, we gotta watch our youth either way. We have to watch them. Male or female, we need to watch them. We need to talk to them. I'll let them know, hey, I used to be a teenager. Don't try to tell me you're not doing something when I already been down this road already. I'm before your time. Don't try to pull nothing on me. I know. Same thing was with me. My mother, Florence Bella, was a supreme. I heard some stories about all of them. Not just Diana had her stories. But all of them had some stories about them and guys. But they're teenagers. People are looking good. They're cute. Those guys were cute back then. Those little young little teenagers back then in the 60s. Those handsome guys. So, it's nature. It's nature. And you know what? African men, because R. Kelly is still African, even though he's an American, he's still African. It's their nature to be with more than one wife. He could have gone that route. And then you have Tom Thumb marriages that took place. I had one of those. So, love starts from the heart. And if he did marry Aaliyah, at least he respect her enough to marry her. You know, that's how I look at it. But no one at the label said anything, so who knows? And like the guy said, he didn't even know who they were. But you know, if you lived in Alabama, Mississippi, in some type of area that they approve marriages at 13, 14, 15 years old by a parent, it's approved. And also a judge signs off on it. So, there it is. And my grandparents got married at 14 years old. Both of them were 14 when they got married in Mississippi. God bless their hearts, having 15 kids. Damn. They was doing something right. But I know one thing I could tell you about my grandparents. My grandfather, every morning, came downstairs smiling. Big old smile on his face. That man came down smiling every morning. And we would watch him come downstairs with a big smile on his face. And he go get that lunch pail with that thermos and put it in the lunch pail and leave for work with a smile on his face. So, every couple should have that. Anyway, I'm going to conclude this episode of talking about R. Kelly trial. This is Variety Chenevere.
Fakashi Media Podcast Live, also known as Nicole Renee Ballard, the daughter, firstborn daughter, of the founder of the Supremes, Florence Glinder Ballard. And the family also called me Roslyn, or Roz, as well. I remember when Michael Jackson's daddy asked her, he said, "Why are you calling her that? That's not her name." She said, "My sister want me to call her that." He said, "But that ain't her name, though. Why are you calling her that? Her name Nicole." Anyway, R. Kelly fans, mantras, I'm going to pray for these mantras of karma, negative karma, to be unblocked for the truth and for him to continue his prosperity in the industry if he wants. He's innocent until proven guilty, which I believe he is innocent. Just because people are just not going to the police, people are not picking up their children, people don't have to come to his house. If he already has a record, people already know about it, and they still want to record with him, they still want to be with him, they still want to sleep with him, hey, that's why I defend him. So, he's not the only one with a problem, now is he? Anyway, I just pray that Robert, that you learn from this last trial, and God will give you favor and mercy. I respect you as an artist. I respect you as my friend. I've known you since tricycle days. I know we haven't kept in touch over the years. But I respect you still. And all I know is that I have good memories of you, Robert, when we were growing up and when we became adults, even as friends. I have nothing but good memories about you and good things to say about you and good thoughts of you. Everyone liked you in Detroit that I know that was on our block when I was growing up on Pinehurst. Everybody liked your grandparents. Everybody looked out for them. You know, they looked out for each other. We had the best houses on the block. We were the people who kept the lawn done. The house is looking good. You come from a good background, and I know that. You come from a good place. Detroit may have a lot of stigma and things said about it in Chicago, but you come from a good background. You come from good roots and a good family. You know, so we had nothing but closeness on our block. Well, Ike, everybody. Kevin, Gregory next door. Well, Gregory barely came outside next door, but we just had a good relationship, community, in our family, at our school, our teachers. We had great teachers when we went to school. We had teachers that believed in us when we went to school. You know, I had a teacher that loved me as a writer, so I became a great writer. You know, we had some great counselors to help us get to where we are in our careers. So we come from a great background. We don't come from a background of rapists. We don't come from a background of family members being in jail and going to prison for what people are trying to accuse you for. We don't have not one uncle or father or anyone who's ever been in prison for anything that they're accusing you for. And I know that, Robert, you have a great background, because I was there when you were growing up. And I'm going to say this to the world so the world would know. And this is for his fans. And for your fans, that's all I can tell you. I know the good side of Robert Kelly. He's my best friend, and I love you. No matter what, I stand behind you. I stand behind Floyd Mayweather. I grew up with him. I've known him since tricycle days as well. I know he's a good person. He's always been a good person. He's always been a good kid. He's always been someone with self-control. He's always been someone with focus. He always been someone, even as a child, a minor. He knows what works and what doesn't work. He can see through people. He's a pretty good judgment of people. But there's nothing wrong with a person wanting to find that right person in their lives to settle down. But we grew up where we're from. We were always told to take our time and do it right. And I'm not against Floyd for having 40 girlfriends if he wants to. Because that's how we were brought up, to take our time and do it right. Get everything you want out the way first. But you don't have to get married if you don't want to. You can still have a good family without a piece of paper. There are good relationships without children. You don't have to have children to have a good relationship. It's okay to be single and to live alone as well. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're lonely. You can't bring everybody into your home. So, knowing these two men, Robert Kelly and Floyd Mayweather Jr., they had some great support systems. They had great parents that supported them. They had a great network. I lost my parents when I was 9, so I didn't quite have that. But I had to have my counselors and teachers as my support system. You know, even as an adult in college, I still had a great support system. So I just want to say I know these men. Grew up with them from boys to men. And I love them both very much. And all of my male friends, Darren, he's a writer. Elwan Nassar, he's from Lebanon. He owns wine and oil. All of these men are very successful men in their lives. None of them have ever been in prison. We all have had relationships, but we all have been really tight and cool over the years. We moved on with our lives, got into other relationships so they can grow and be with other people, because sometimes people don't want you to keep in touch with your past. You know, so it's out of respect of not dealing with people. But remotely, I'm here for Robert. I'm here for any of them. And I love you all. I get a chance to chat with some of you on social media. You know, and I've chatted with Floyd on social media as well a little bit. But Floyd and I don't really chat on social media. When I see him, he just comes straight over to my house. So ain't no bodyguards and all that intact with that. He's known me forever, so we never need that. But I support these brothers. This is my family. With or without money. They still gonna always be Rob. And they gonna always be Floyd to me. And to me, I don't have to be in their circle. Because I look up to them. And I've been there from the beginning. And I know their beginnings. So, That's all I can say for their fans out there. My fan base is not that big, but I do got a nice listenership in 60 countries. And I appreciate it that you all listen. And I hope that you all are encouraged in some form or way. Stop thinking, live. Go on your first thought about people. Because the second thought is the one of doubt. You can't let everybody into your house. If someone come to your home and they pick up something and say, hey man, why you take my money off the table? Or why'd you take this or move that? It was left there. That's not you being crazy. You left it there. It's your home. It's your place. You have a right to leave your things where you put it. You shouldn't have to lock everything up when people coming over to your house. I know people that had to do that. They had to lock things up in pantries because certain people were coming over that would steal from them. And I've had things stolen from me. But it's just the point of being respected in your own home. Taking things without your consent. Touching your stuff. Using you. You know? I know people wait till people go to bed and take their ID out and their social security number out and stuff like that. Excuse me. So, just have people around you who gonna love you and respect you no matter what. And check them. Don't be afraid to check nobody. You know, out of respect. Regardless of where you are in your space. Your space is violated. Let people know you're violating my space. Anyway, I wanted to talk today for the fans of Robert Kelly. And those of you who believe that he's innocent, let's keep him in prayer. And those of you who are knee and contrary to that, well, we'll see. What I can say is mothers and fathers of children who want to pursue this entertainment industry, go with your kids. You don't have to leave them with people. And if you already know someone has a history, the background of something that they've been accused of, then why take them there? You can deal with a lot of kids and let a lot of young children and teenagers do some producing or something. This can happen to anyone of any age. Men can be raped, women can be raped, boys and girls can be raped. We just got to learn how to use our voice. I know some people say they have fear or whatever that happens. But you just got to get counseling or whatever it is that you need. But walking into it, knowing that this is something that's already been in the table, even though he wasn't convicted of anything, I'm not saying that not to work with him because of what happened, but people have their options. He's just not the only producer that a person can work with. There are a lot of ways to do things, and let me tell you, there are pastors who molest, you know, but we just got to use our inner instincts that God has given us. And I always tell you guys, you know, if you want to get into this business, go to school. Go to school for music production. Go to college. You could take these classes. Some of these classes you could take remotely, online. Full Sail University. There are a lot of colleges that you could take these classes at, even community colleges. If you're a California resident, community college is free for you. So take advantage of going to free tuition colleges. in California. And then they have dual enrollment as well in California, where you can go to high school and to a community college and get an associate's degree or a baccalaureate degree. Depends on what county you're in. If you're in a Las Virgis County, you'll get a baccalaureate degree, which is in the Calabasas area of California. But Los Angeles County, you'll get an associate's degree for dual enrollment at a community college, like at anywhere, Santa Monica College, any of them. They are tuition-free colleges. If you're a resident of California. College of San Francisco is a tuition-free college as well. So check in your state, in your city, a tuition-free colleges. You want to go in the entertainment industry? Go to college. Stop getting in bed with producers. Take music classes, audio, video, cinematography, photography, news reporting, journalism, photojournalism, everything. Take everything and learn everything you need to know. Get on Amazon and buy a lot of books on how to start a record label and so on and so forth. Move on and move forward. Because that's the best way to make it. Knowledge is power. Thank you for listening. This is Variety Shunavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live, also known as Nicole Renee Ballard. Family members have called me Rosalind and Roz over the years, to my family and friends as well. And this is the daughter of the Motown Supreme, firstborn child, Flo Baby, 1217, of Florence Ballard. Thank you for listening. Till next time.